World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Drive-In Church in Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
Today I want to talk about one of the greatest frustrations to a lot of believers. I would literally say the majority of Christians who have never seemingly been able to get their faith to work. By that I mean a consistent day-to-day flow of the miraculous help from God. And so people then develop doctrines that aren't biblical, trying to make up for why they can't seem to get answers from God. So today, I want to say this. I want to look at this topic of faith. I don't mean your definition. I mean real Bible faith or real New Covenant faith. You see, I'm a New Covenant man. I'm not an Old Covenant man. Now, I have studied the Old Covenant. I've studied the other covenants in the Word, but I am a New Covenant man, and it is old things have passed away, and this is a new kind of life. What messes people up is they're not New Covenant believers. Now, they've given their life to Christ. If they die, they go to heaven. But their life here is so mixed up with Old Covenant principles and New Covenant principles. And it's just like, it doesn't matter where you travel, people in our own church, when they start saying, why didn't God do this? They don't understand the New Covenant. Well, I hear them say, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. They don't understand the New Covenant. And so people think that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word means if you just read the Word, speak the Word, everything's going to be okay. That's not what it's saying. Let's take a look at this topic of faith. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that I want to read you. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13 to 14. It says, for everyone, and he's talking to Christians here, for everyone who partakes only of milk, meaning shallow things in the Bible, they are unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that those who by reason of use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Most people, when I say, hey, share the good news, they go, yeah, hey, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything's going to be okay. That's not the gospel. Hey, just pray this prayer and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and everything's going to be okay. That's not the gospel. That's a wee little piece. And so many believers are ineffective at winning people to Christ because they don't even know the gospel. They don't even know the basic tenets. And so I'm going to focus on this one issue here because it says that you've got to be skilled in the word of righteousness. When it comes to believing God, I have been at the bedside of a lot of people when they passed away, both as a paramedic years ago and as a pastor for decades. I've listened to their final words. I've been there when the family's gone and it's just me and them at 2 a.m. and what they had to say. And when they are believing God for a miracle and then we start to talk, it seems to always come down to a misbelief that is going on the inside of them. And they'll use terms like I just said. And so I don't like just being silent. I don't want to be a preacher that just throws taffy and candy to an already diabetic crowd. I want you to know the word. I want you to see the storm coming, which they'll always come. Faith doesn't mean you can believe away the storms. Faith means the storm can't shake you. And that's a big thing for some faith people. They'll look at somebody going through storm after storm after storm and they go, what in the world? No, no, it's not the storm that shows you have a lack, that you don't know how to use faith. Storms will always blow. Jesus didn't show that the guy who built his house on the rock believed away the storm. It's just that his life couldn't be shaken. So we must learn. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is this thing called faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says a remarkable thing that people take a different way, but it says, by faith we understand. By faith. You see, the language of the mind and the world is reasoning. But reasoning isn't the language of God. These five senses that the Bible calls the flesh, arm of flesh, these five senses work in this dimension. In this dimension, space, time, matter isn't even in God's, in the spirit kingdom, in God's dimension. And so our five senses, which we only can look at the principles and the laws that govern space, time, matter. I'm not a scientist, but this area doesn't even affect God. In fact, he put these in order here. And then he taught us how to live in this world by a higher level of knowledge. There's two kinds of knowledge in this world. The one is sense knowledge from the five senses. The other is a faith knowledge. It is a believing on God that opens up another realm of understanding, of believing. And people think it's naive, but every tribe and tongue, when you go back in history, has tried to figure out whatever they want to call this spirit world, the forces that are beyond this natural world. And the Bible says what overcomes everything in this world is our faith, not our reasoning, not our teaching, not our emotions, not our mind, not our physical ability. It is our faith. So we literally must immerse ourselves once we are born again to believing the principles of the Word of God, even though our reasoning can't figure out how. Now, you think, well, yeah, that's impossible. No, it's not. I can't explain to you how your car works and runs. I know it's got to do with some gas or some electricity and how it, but yet I still believe, trust it, get behind the wheel and drive it. Okay? I've heard about the law of lift and force and planes, and I don't know how you can get into a plane, get above the clouds, and show up in another continent, on another city, and land right on the airport. And I know you can explain all the sciences, but I don't, and I get on them. And just because you can't figure God out doesn't mean you can't trust Him, learn the principles, and work these principles, and live in a place where you simply are looking at the end. You believe this. Now, when the voice of your mind, which is reasoning, is submitted to the Word of God and to your spirit, which operates by faith, live by faith, walk by faith, we see by faith. The Bible says, we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen. There is an incredible ability that is here for us as believers, that this is an interactive world that we live in. That's why when you read the Old Testament, literally it says that the sun stood still, that water would flow out of rocks, that bodies would be healed, that literally subatomic particles change and move. And I've seen it. I've seen God do miracles. So have many of you. So we've got to recognize that the odd time we were able to see something, that this is a life that we should consistently live in.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Even when your situation seems hopeless, there's always hope in God. As a believer, Holy Spirit lives in you, and no matter how dark things may seem, you can overcome anything through Him. In Leon's series, Supernatural Strength, learn how to access the strength and power God has provided for your situation. Stand strong, because stubborn faith in Him will take you through.
Over the decades of our ministry, we've noticed those who give, they just love greater. You know, love gives. And if you'd like to be a part of the giving family around here that makes this program possible, for a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series, Supernatural Strength, How to Stay Strong.
Get your copy of Supernatural Strength today.
It says, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what is it in the Word that we should know first? Someone says, well, just read the Bible. No. You'll just become a works-minded, old covenant person, frustrated, totally frustrated. But you need to know the new covenant. And this new covenant is based all around a person, and this person is Jesus, who took your place and my place. 2,000 years ago, He died on a cross. John the Baptist said, when pointing at Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Bible and this new covenant is so different that anybody here who has been raised in religious Christianity struggles with righteousness, struggles with the word of righteousness. And so even though you could read the Bible through every year for 50 years, you are considered a baby in walking in faith, because the word of righteousness is the stumbling block. Righteousness is the stumbling block that literally Jesus talked about, Paul talked about, with those who are religious. They just can't believe that you could be right with God, in right standing with God, which is what righteousness means, meaning you have access to all the inheritance as a gift. They just, no. I got to clean up my life. I got to be better, pray more, give more, volunteer more. I've got to do more for others. I got to clean up my mind, clean up my body, clean up my habits. Yes, it's good to do those things. But those aren't what qualify you for the promises of God. Simply believing or having faith. But not a faith that comes from reasoning. A faith that comes from getting into the Word and reading and understanding it. There's a verse in the Word that teaches us that if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you've got confidence with God, and whatever you ask, you get. What? The Bible says that. Are you living that way? Well, then, if you're not, that means somewhere your own heart is condemning you. It's condemnation, it's guilt, it's, am I good enough? Do I have enough faith? But then in the same verse it says, and if your heart does condemn you, it doesn't. You'd think it would say, you can't have anything from God. But no, that's not what it says. What it says is, God is greater than your heart. So right now, if you're here and you've tried to believe Him for healing, tried to believe Him for relationships, believing Him for something the Word of God promises you, and you can't get it to work, then there is a misbelief. The Bible can call it doubt. A misbelief makes you double-minded. You literally, you're trying to get your mind to side with your spirit, but then this doubt, this unbelief, this misbelief has to be dealt with. How do you deal with that? It will always come around your qualifications. Does this disqualify you? What? A past sin, a present problem, an addiction, that I haven't done enough, given enough. Religious Christians will teach this stuff until they've got you so condemned, you have a hard time believing the good news of the gospel. So we have to understand that righteousness, or to be right with God, is a gift. And so anytime I'm believing God for something, I always remind myself that I don't need to earn this, qualify for this. I don't need to beg God for it. I don't need to seek God for it. That wherever the promises have been made, Jesus has already qualified me for it and given me the answer as my inheritance. So to read the Bible shouldn't be a chore, because it's your inheritance. And so as you dive into this gospel, the good news about Jesus, and you realize that your actions, your behavior, your thinking, your lack of goodness, if I can put it that way, isn't what disqualifies you. It's your misbeliefs. It's these doubts that need to be dealt with. And the only way they can be dealt with is to understand what Jesus did with his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I had a debate with a learned doctorate of theology as he explained to me how that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. What a ridiculous concept. I'm sorry. I'm going to just deal with this. I might offend somebody somewhere around the world. Jesus is not sitting at the right hand of God with his hands clasped in prayer, begging the Father to bless you. Jesus is not up there interceding, which means it's a form of prayer, but they get it wrong, as though he's there praying for you, hoping God will say yes, that God will move on your behalf, that God will release the prize. That's not doctrinally correct. Jesus, in his intercessory place at the right hand of the Father, now listen close to this, before Jesus was born on this planet, I couldn't tell you what he looked like, what his form was like, his spirit. But when he became a baby and the Holy Spirit moved within Mary and Jesus was conceived within her and then he was born, from that point and on, he would spend eternity in a human body. He changed forever what he looked like. And this human body made him one of us. He's all God, but he became this human. When he died on the cross and they nailed him to the cross, he's got holes in his hands, holes in his feet, a spear in his side. His forehead would be ripped up from the thorns that were pushed down onto his head. Did you know that when you go to heaven, you're going to get a new body? Okay? And this new body is the glorified body. And so if you couldn't walk down here, I mean there, you're going to be able to walk. In heaven, this new body is so tremendous that when Jesus rose from the dead, he could walk through walls, yet he could eat, he could be hugged. Thomas said, I need to put my fingers in the holes in his hands. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose again till I can put my hand in the hole of the spear that went in his side, 6 inches wide, that went up and through his side and just released the water and the blood, showing that he was dead. So after Jesus rose again, his will be the only body in eternity when we're all in heaven that keeps its scars. I met a person whose nose was destroyed, jaw gone, and had to be rebuilt. When he goes to heaven, he'll get a new face. The scars will be gone, but not on Jesus. Why is that? Because at the right hand of God the Father is Jesus in a human body. And the scars in his hands, the hole in his side, is there for eternity to prove that he died in your place. that anytime you come boldly to the throne of God, Jesus is not turning to God going, please give it to Leon. Please, God, just be good this one time. Well, please, God, he's been doing pretty good. He's cleaned up enough. I think you should give it to him. No. God knows. And in the courts of heaven, no one will ever be able to say that, well, you were better to him than me. No, the entire human race can be born again. And the Bible says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and to living godly. So when we confess his word, speak his word, and we say to the mountains, move, to the sickness, go, to the favor and the blessing and the prosperity on this planet to flow into our life, our business, for the peace of God, peace on this house, peace on this business, peace on this country. This, when we as believers declare and speak the word of God, Jesus is not up there praying and beseeching and begging the Father. It's done. It's done. 2,000 years ago, it was done. 2,000 years ago, he provided everything you would ever need for your marriage, your body, your mind, your kids, your grandkids, your generations, to walk safely, to walk favorably. If 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, as a new covenant person, you walk out in the favor, the protection, and the blessing of God. If you need to dive into God's word and recognize faith always sees the end result. Reason always finds issues and problems and what about this and how's that going to work and I don't understand. You're not going to understand with your brain. You dive into his word and Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, begins to cause revelation to flow on the inside of you, a revelation that no unsaved or not born-again person could ever have. When we speak to mountains, we're not commanding God. He's already freely given us all things, Peter teaches us. And so you and I need to begin to take our mouth and to declare what God's word already says about us. We need to begin to declare. So we've taught you about confession. But man, when you hear David confess in the old covenant what God would do for him. Listen to this guy. Like in Psalms 118, verse 6, he says, the Lord's on my side. I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. He takes my part. He's among those who help me. Therefore, I see my desire established. It's better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put my confidence in man. It's better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in other princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I'll cut them all off. They compassed me about. They surrounded me on every side. But in the name of the Lord, I'll cut them off. They swarmed about me like bees. They blaze up and are extinguished like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. He goes on to say, you, my adversary, thrust sorely at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He is my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents and the private dwellings of the uncompromisingly righteous. You and I are uncompromisingly righteous because of Jesus. And you need to start to confess your position in God. You need to start to confess things. And you begin to declare, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm in him. There are so many verses that the Christian world, they're too busy confessing healing, confessing prosperity, confessing God's going to fix my marriage, that they don't even know their identity in Christ. And you need to find all these identity scriptures. This new covenant life flows for this new covenant man or woman and the generations of kids, your grandkids, they'll watch you and see the romance, the joy, the laughter, the prosperity, the blessing, the power of God. They're not going to want the world. They've had a chance to see what a new covenant man and woman parents actually look like.
I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the Word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's Word and His Spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the Word, his doctrine might even be okay. But it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here, and I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior, come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways, in Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media